Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hey, are you looking to expand and grow your business? Are you looking for that edge, that next step up, that paradigm shift? Well, one of the best ways to get you there is through a mentor or a coach. And today's sponsor, Trevor McGregor, he is the man. He is going to get you to be laser focused, to get you onto that next level. And I know from experience dealing with Trevor, he is a master coach, peak performance coach, well over 10,000 coaching hours through clients all over the world. And he helps you achieve better health, more wealth and freedom and contribution than you ever thought possible. Have that coach that holds your feet to the fire. Go on to Trevor's website, coachwithtrevor.com. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. And there you can get a free strategy session with Trevor. And you can decide if he's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for him. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. You will not be disappointed. Hello, and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and I'm excited for another great episode. With me today is Nate Armstrong. Nate, how are you doing today?
Awesome, Todd. Happy to be here, man.
So Nate, I met back in maybe around 2009. He was with Calhoun Ventures, left the corporate world, I believe, with Target, and started an investment company with a few partners. And since then, Nate has transitioned his investment strategy, and he's with HomeVest. And I'll let Nate tell us a little bit more about his background, where he's came from, and what he's doing now. He's got a lot of exciting things going on. So, Nate, let us know what you got going on.
Awesome, Todd. So, yep, Todd and I got to meet right at the bottom of the real estate market. So right when everyone was saying, gosh, it's time to run, the sky is falling, let's get out, we were doing deals. And we were kind of the crazy nomads out there getting them done. But my story goes like this. I was a corporate guy, worked at Target, as Todd mentioned, started buying houses on the weekends. So literally bought my first rental property, started collecting some cash flow, had a property management company, all that kind of stuff. And after a year of buying some houses on the weekends, I decided to go at it full time on my own. So I left my corporate job, jumped in, and started buying, fixing, and selling houses one at a time. And that's where I got to meet Todd. And in the course of that journey, I made some money, made pretty good money my first year. But then after that, I invested into one really big deal. It was a portfolio of houses, and the seller had financed it to me. And I put down all the money I made in year one into that portfolio. And I quickly learned that not everybody in the real estate business is doing it with ethics. And what had happened is the guy that sold it to us faked the numbers and literally ripped us off of all of our money. And I don't know if you've ever done an investment before that you regretted or that you felt stupid on, but this one, I wanted to crawl under a rock and just totally die. I had people around me saying, Nate, just go get your corporate job back. I even had my former boss from Target saying, Nate, we'll take you back at Target. Just come back, quit real estate altogether. And I couldn't for one big reason. And the reason was is that I had a co-investor on that deal. And that co-investor on the deal was much older than me, and he'd used his retirement funds. And I knew that for him, he didn't have time to make it back up. So I thought to myself, I at least need to do a couple more flips to make it right with him. And so I went and did that. I did a couple flips, and I actually learned. I got a really good mentor that started to teach me how to do real estate the right way. And I didn't have extra cash, so I sat on the job sites myself. I hung kitchen cabinets, I painted walls, I did whatever it took, but I learned the process start to finish. I really relearned it. And then I said, okay, after these two, I'll do some more. And I kept going. And then what happened is that co-investor who lost money and was then made whole came back and said, okay, let's do some more. And then out of nowhere, my dentist said, hey, can I do some houses with you? And then my wife's chiropractor said, hey, Nate, can I do some houses with you? And it just kept growing and growing. But during that experience, basically, we came up with a process, a checklist to everything that we were doing. My corporate background at Target basically taught me that you should have a best practice for everything that you do. So in real estate, we started treating it no differently. As soon as you buy a property, you have to put insurance on it. You have to change the utilities over to your name. You got to call the water company. You got X, Y, Z. You've got to make sure everything is done every single time. If you miss something, it can cause delays in the job site. So we refined the process over the course of now the last 1,000 plus properties that we've done. And we created a business off of helping other investors get into real estate investing. So right alongside of our money and our properties, we have other investors that come in and get into properties as well. So that's kind of the journey that led me up to today. But basically, it was that hardship experience that taught us the process, that taught us how to do this stuff the right way.
So you, this big portfolio, was it mostly single families or what was it that you bought?
Yes.
What was the time frame?
So this would have been 2008 that I actually pulled the trigger on it.
Okay.
And then 2009 realized how rough it was and had to live through that experience during that era.
Nate, what was wrong with those properties?
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, I was naive. I mean, when I reflect back on all of it, it was me not doing proper due diligence on it. The houses weren't renovated to what I would call actual market standards. We're anal retentive now in our process at Home Invest. Literally, we're going through houses top to bottom, new furnaces, new roofs, new hot water heaters. Back then, I didn't know any better. So I trusted the person that was selling them to us, that they were all done. They were all rehabbed to the right spec. I trusted some phony appraisals that had been done on the properties a year or two prior, even though the market was falling. I didn't recognize at the time. And then the rents that were quoted to us and the leases that were provided, the majority of them were fake. So the rents that actually came in were totally wrong. And I mean, the aftermath is I ended up suing them in court and I won, but I got a piece of paper saying that I won that was worthless. So when it's all said and done, like I learned a valuable experience and a valuable lesson on this through the experience that you just shouldn't do business with bad people, number one. And then number two, you got to be able to do your own due diligence. So it was painful, but you know, when I reflect back on it, now, today, that co-investor that I was able to make things right with is one of my best friends. He's still an investor with me today. Like we literally were doing five, maybe six open projects today together. And like for me, that's more important than the bump that I hit along the path. And it's also where this business, Home Invest, was born. We were born because there's a lot of people out there like you, like myself, that are trying to do real estate the right way. That the sharks that are out there make us look bad because those sharks are trying to take advantage of people. But when there's good guys out there that are actually doing things the right way, like there are safe ways to invest in real estate, even if you've got a full-time job and you're busy in the corporate world.
Yeah, you brought up some valuable points, I think, is you know, people that are looking to first get started in a business or investing or anything, you just can't take other people's word for what they say. You've got to verify, trust but verify, right? And make sure that you're really digging into those numbers, because as you found, you were trusting too much, and like you admitted, you're naive, you're just beginning. And you know, I think it probably would have been valuable to you to have maybe a mentor that could have looked at that portfolio with you or anything like that. The other valuable point that you came up with, and I really appreciate you talking about this, is that with that investor, you could have easily just went and got a corporate job. You could have easily went back to Target. You could have easily went really probably anywhere and threw your hands up in the air and said goodbye and been done with it. And that would have been the easy way to go. But instead, you figured out how you're going to make money and make that investor whole. And with that, now that investor is one of your probably better investors and a great, I mean, talk about a fantastic referral for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So, it's at the top of the referral list.
Yeah. So Nate, take us into your current business, Home Invest, and what you guys are doing. You guys are a turnkey provider. What else do you do?
Yeah, so we're solving the four major problems of real estate investing right now. We've done it all in one marketplace right online at our domain, basically. People need to find properties. If you're a busy corporate guy and or you're a doctor, dentist, whatever your profession might be, or if you don't even want to go walk 30 to 40 properties to find one good deal, finding properties is a challenge, especially as the market keeps going up in demand. The second biggest problem with this investing business in real estate is rehabs. Contractors out there left and right, if they don't have the proper scope of work or the proper management of that execution of scope of work, they can screw you, whether it's intentional or accidental. They can hurt you really bad in this business. So we've solved the problem of rehabs. The third one is leasing and property management. Leasing and property management, it sounds like it might be easy, but if you get the wrong tenant or if you get the wrong property management company, things can go south really quick. All the work that you did to acquire a property and renovate a property, it can go south fast if you get one bad tenant that has to be evicted. So we've solved those problems. And then the last one that we've added to the equation is liquidity. So for those that have owned rentals or currently own rentals, one of the biggest challenges about real estate investing in the landlording arena is getting your cash out when you want to get the cash out, whether that be a cash out refinance or whether it be I want to sell my property and get my money back next week. The normal process is, if you want to sell your rental, is you let the tenant go, you go back in, you clean up the place with a handyman or a contractor, then you hire a realtor, then you list it, then you sit on market for a while, then eventually you get an offer, then eventually you close. That whole process can take 90 days, sometimes 6 months if you're waiting for a tenant lease to expire. Yeah. What we've done in our marketplace is we let landlords sell to other landlords. So rather than having to wait for the right buyer to come in, our buyers are all investors. So therefore, we've got liquidity in the marketplace. We just had a couple of clients that have had their properties with us now for 1 year, and another one had it for 2 years, and the market had come up. So they decided to press the button in their back office. They pressed their button. It lists the property automatically on homeinvest.com. And both of them were able to cash out in under 10 days because we're dealing with cash buyers on the buy side.
So you guys, essentially have streamlined that process. So somebody can come in and they don't have to do all the heavy lifting. Yeah. I know from experience that, you know, finding contractors and the right contractors is very difficult. Even with proper management, if you find the wrong contractor, you can get in trouble really quickly. And then you have your leasing and management, which again can be very difficult. And then, of course, you mentioned being able to sell, which is definitely a nice. And I'm assuming if I were to invest or somebody were to say, hey, Nate, I want one of your properties, they buy it and 2 years later they want to sell it, they could sell it on their own or they could use you. Is that right?
Yeah, yep, either one. And the way that we're able to help people sell faster is that, much like, have you heard of Carfax, right, for cars?
Yep.
So we keep facts on every single property that we do in the same fashion. Okay. The renovation inspection, the licensed GC report, all the inspections during the rental process, plus the tenant background check, credit score, rental history. And then when a seller goes to list, they press one button and all of those documents become transparent to the next buyer. So a landlord coming in feels like they're buying with transparency. There's trust. They don't have to go and kick the tires, so to speak, because they've got the tire kicking right in front of them. So it's able to help properties sell faster right online, that transparent process.
Oh yeah, that sounds great. So Nate, what markets are you guys in right now?
So we're still Midwest. Minneapolis market, you are by far the best person in the Minneapolis market. Like even my personal stuff that I've seen before, you've helped me out on different occasions, referring investors, contractors, et cetera. The Minneapolis market's up right now, so you've got to have a local person like yourself that really knows how to navigate. Where we're raking our bread and butter today is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because that market dipped. It started to come back, but it hasn't come back as fierce as some of the other markets. Yep. And then Chicago, Illinois is the other big one for us.
Okay. I know you used to be in a couple other cities. Do you still have holdings? I think maybe Quad Cities, was it?
Yep. So we've got properties in Davenport. We've got properties in Des Moines. We have properties in Rock Island, a few different cities around the Quad Cities.
Sure.
And then additionally, Kansas City, St. Louis. We've had a bunch in Florida, had some in Michigan. The reason that we're not selling them right now is because we used to use third-party property managers, third-party different groups, basically.
Sure.
And through some of the lessons that I'm sure we'll talk about in this podcast, we decided not to use third-party anymore. Some of the third-party folks just weren't holding the same standards that you or I might hold when it comes to real estate investing. So we said, you know what, we're not going to sell any property unless we're managing it start to finish.
Well, that's perfect. Let's dig into that a little bit more. So you used to have third party. Now it's all in-house in Milwaukee and Chicago and the Twin Cities, I'm assuming especially. How did that transition look? Why did you make it? And how are you making it? How are you making it profitable?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, I'll start with the latter question and work my way backwards. As you know, property management business as a whole is not a very profitable business. It's very low margin, lots of competition there. And when you end up having skinny margins, it's harder to hire really good people. So you end up hiring kind of mediocre. That's the typical property management company. Or what you do is you try to make your money off of markups, maintenance markups or service fees, things like that, which don't benefit the end landlord. They benefit the property manager, but not the landlord, the investor. So we had a delicate balance because we're in this business not for property management. We're in this business to make investors happy so they want to come back and buy more properties from us. So when we went on the journey of our own property management company, we had to figure out how to hire really good people that could take care of the properties really well, but do it for the same margins that everybody else is doing. So we run our property management company today at break even or sometimes even slight loss. And it's very intentional. What we consider that to be is our customer service department. Property management is just an extension of our overall operation. So we're able to hire really good people, but we spend every dollar that we take in from property management fees on our property management team members. And then consequently, we've got a really good property management company in place. Now, why did we come to that conclusion? I'll tell you why, and this is kind of one of the brutal facts of real estate investing. I had a property manager that started stealing rents. They literally started pocketing them, and then my clients started calling me. It was on my personal rentals and some of our clients, and I had clients calling me saying the same thing, and it was a very painful experience. And what we later learned is that the property management company was just having major cash flow issues, and they eventually went out of business. So damaged me, damaged a lot of clients, a few $100,000 in money that just evaporated. And it was very painful for me to watch from the sidelines where I couldn't control anything. I mean, in the management process, sure, I could call the property manager and say, hey, you got to hurry up with leasing or you're behind on maintenance. But when it comes to money, when their name is on all the bank accounts, there was zero control that I had. And I felt completely helpless. I couldn't help myself and I couldn't help our clients. So I decided we never want to be in that position again as a company. As Home Invest, we want our clients to always be safe and be protected. Yeah. So now consequently, we manage property management. We are a licensed broker. We've got all the insurances, bonding, and everything that we possibly need for contracting and for property management.
That's an all too familiar story with the property, with the third party property management. It's, yeah.
You've been there.
I've been there. I actually had somebody in-house that, quite frankly, do the same thing. She was collecting cash from certain tenants and keeping the cash. And so, you know, stuff happens. Again, you've got to be on top of it. That's the nice thing about having it in-house is that it happened with her. She was collecting. One of the main things she was collecting was she'd collect application fees from people, and she would just take their application, wouldn't run their background. She'd collect, you know, let's say 10 of them for one property and only give me three fees. Well, she would keep the other seven. And it started, you know, all of a sudden I would get a phone call from somebody, you know, did I get accepted? And I'm going, well, you didn't apply. What do you mean? So we figured out pretty quick. That's the nice thing about having it in house. When it's third party, that could go months before you figure something like that out. And all of a sudden, you know, thousands of dollars are gone. So, well, let's go back to you. and your business. So you've got the in-house property management, you've got the in-house contractors. How did you structure this business? Take us through that. Like, how did you decide this is the process we're going to go, and these are the systems we need to do to make it profitable? Because I think it's really, your business is modeled on making me as an investor money when I buy one of your properties. So you've got to be yourself very careful how you set this up so the investors continue to invest and continue to refer, yet you still have to make money. So can you take us through as best as you can that process of how did you get everything set up and why did you do it certain ways?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started in this business as I explained, doing some rentals, doing some flips, and I figured out really quick what was profitable and what wasn't profitable. So I shared the same shoes as all of our clients. And I still do today. My wife and I buy rentals. I bought from other turnkey providers. I bought in multiple different cities and states, 7 different states now. And so I've lived the experience of out-of-state investing, in-state investing, et cetera. So when we started to model the company, we thought about it from the investor standpoint first. What's going to keep investors coming back? What's going to be the glue that sticks people to us? So really the bottom line comes down to this. It's you got to share the pie. So it may be in a traditional seller model. The seller wants to sell and maximize their profit. Let's say the market value is $100,000. A traditional seller wants $100,000. And they're going to stand on that because they're going to say, that's market value. That's what I want. In our model, we're going to say, how do we share the pie so that our investors are excited? We can still make some profit, and we go on to do lots of deals with this individual over time. And so we divide up the pie. That $100,000 deal, we might sell it for $90,000. We share $10,000 with the investors, and then they're excited. They want to come back and buy more. Meanwhile, we can make enough money on the transaction to go on the next deal and get another one. Same thing with property management. We could have made a decision to do what some property managers do and mark up maintenance and charge a bunch of junk fees all the way up and down. But we decided not to. We do one low flat fee and we stick fixed to that. We don't have enormous maintenance markups. Our maintenance is mostly handymen that are usually around $45 per hour, which is a fairly good rate for contracting. And with that, we're able to make the margins work and then still keep the investor happy. So you're right, Todd. It's a very delicate balance, but we start with the approach of the investor in mind. What's going to make them happy? What's going to be the glue that keeps them coming back for more?
Yeah, because I mean, I've been in this business for a long time, and it's really easy to overspend. It's really easy to overproject and do all that. So, what do you do to help, make sure that you're on target for making your investors profitable?
Yeah. So, I'll comment on the overspending, the projection wise too. So, rehabs—that's the part where most people kind of go sideways.
Yeah.
On some of these houses, it's a foreclosure. It's a Fannie Mae. It's a HUD property. It's the middle of winter. They're not letting you turn on the water. They're not letting you turn on the power. You got to kind of guess. You got to say, okay, based on the last 200 rehabs that I did in this area, this is what it costs me to do this. I have to plan for the pipes to be frozen, but you don't know everything. So we've jumped into some houses before where we get it down to the basement and it looks like it's perfectly finished. We tear into it a little bit and we realize is that the wall is buckling behind the actual sheetrock. Now we've got to dig out all the sheetrock. We've got to take out the wall and replace the wall. We're talking $10,000 to $20,000 repairs. We've had to basically, as a company, we took the standpoint that when we estimate a rehab, we stand behind the rehab. So essentially, we take the risk. There's no such thing as change orders in our business, not to our clients. Now, our contractors come to us with change orders all the time. And we either negotiate with the contractor or we'll just pay them out. But we take that from our side, the Home Invest side, not from the client side. And what that's done is created a ton of trust. Like I just made a call last Friday to an investor that we ended up sinking about $12,000 back into their house. So we overall took a loss on the property. And I didn't call them to like whine or brag about it. We were just in conversation. I said, hey, on this one, it's taking a little bit longer. We're putting some more money into it. We missed some stuff. We've got to take care of it. And the investor said, holy cow, and I'm not going to get a change order? I said, nope, not getting a change order. Hmm. He's like, wow, thank you. And then he asked me, he's like, well, how can I be fair with you guys? And I said, well, you could buy another property. That'd be cool. And he did. He did on yesterday, bought another property. So it was win-win in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, but that's showing your integrity as a company is, you know, things don't always go right for you. But as long as they go right enough times for you, your company can still keep the wheels on and spinning. Talk about a structure. What's your structure of your company look like? It's you. There's got to be at least one or two other people. Talk about that. What's your team look like?
Yep. So we're a little over 20 people now. That's not including the contractors or realtors out in the field, but 20 core team members managing stuff day to day. What that breaks out as, I've got a business partner who's incredible. He runs the company. He's the CEO of the company. I'll tell a story about him at some point, but he's CEO. And then I run all of operations. And then beyond that, we've got portfolio managers who basically help clients transition from one phase to the next. It's really easy for someone who's never done a real estate deal to kind of get lost. Like, hey, do I have to sign a property management agreement? Or do I have to tell the water company it's okay that you're turning on the water for me? Little things like that. So we've got some portfolio managers that help make sure clients are fully transitioned from start to finish and no loose ends are left out there. Okay. Next, we've got property management team members. So there's four people that are supporting that full-time, plus some leasing agents who are out in the field. They're technically contractors, but there's leasing agents out in the field. And then there's a whole bunch of maintenance people that are maintaining houses, doing renovation stuff, basically, or handyman type work. On the contracting side now, there are seven people that are managing job sites in some way, shape, or form. One of them is overseeing project managers. Two of them are estimators, and then the rest are actual project managers overseeing the job sites as they come through the pipeline. And then the other folks that are on the team are mostly support. So there's accountants that are supporting, and then there's some administrative support on the team.
Great. So, well, let's talk about you said your business partner. Let's talk about kind of that setup and how did you pick a business partner and how, you know, business, I think, partnerships can be difficult and they can be very, very valuable. So how did you pick your business partner and maybe lessons along the way? I know previously you had some other business partners, if I'm right, I might not be right. But so you had some other business partners and I don't think any of them are directly business partners anymore. So that's good. I think that's good, valuable experience that you've learned. Take us through business partners and choosing them and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So I did have different partners when I first started in the business, and no differently than maybe your relationship with your brother or a good friend. As time grows, you might realize that different strengths and different weaknesses are presented. And in the case of my first partnership, one of my partners went back to the corporate world right away. And then they didn't really like the not 9-to-5 style or the work anytime that the job demands it. And then the other partner went back to the corporate world about a year and a half later because he got a really good financial offer that he couldn't refuse. So they both went back into the corporate world. And what I learned in the whole experience with that, like, they were good people and I would work with them again, but would I choose them as a business partner? Probably not. In business, especially year one and year two, it's such a critical period. You gotta bust your tail. Let's face it. You're out there trying to make a name for yourself. You're doing all this work. You have to research. You have to learn. You're going through so much. You got to work your tail off. So with those partners, it didn't end up working out, but they're still really good people. Now today, what I did basically with the business is I kept going. I still work with one of my original partners, and we do like one-off flips here and there. She's a really good person. We just kind of do it casually, part-time. That's in Calvin Ventures. But now with Home Invest, the whole turnkey setup that we're doing to make it hands-off for investors so that they can invest easily, I partnered with one of our clients. And our client, he's from Europe. He had owned all of the Century 21 master franchise and franchisees reported up to him in the Balkan region of Europe. So he had a really big operation. And then right before the crash, 2007, 2008, he sold all of those franchises in his master franchise. And then he opened a trading academy where he was basically doing online trading. And he had all of the institutions, major institutions in Europe, giving his firm their money, and he was trading it. So he saw a lot in real estate, and then he saw a lot in the financial markets, basically during a very volatile time. And then maybe 3-4 years ago, he started buying properties from us. And one at a time, he was buying them. And I don't know if you've ever had that client before or not that you're like, oh man, this guy's calling again. But that was him at first. So, and the reason was is because he's a perfectionist. He likes everything to be done a very perfect way. Like little details, like even the logo of the company, if it's not level or on site, he is going to be all over it. He wants it to be straightened out. So at first, he drove me nuts as a client. I still like him as an individual, but he drove me nuts as a client. And then over time, I actually started to listen. Instead of putting up the defensive barrier like, oh man, this guy again, I started to listen to him, and he had really good suggestions. And he would say little things like, hey, you know, from the investor point of view, they really want to see stuff like this. You should present your numbers like this. You should do this. And he had some pretty good thoughts, and my sales started to go up because of some of the suggestions that he was having. And then he came to me one day and he said, hey, we're going to work together someday. I just know it. We're going to work together. And he said, within a year, I think we're going to be doing business together. And I'm like, okay, sure. Sounds good. Let's see it. And then he ended up, after he sold his second business in the time that I knew him, he ended up moving his whole family to the United States, and he went and bought the domain homeinvest.com. And he called me. He's like, I got it. I'm like, what? He's like, I got it. I'm like, what'd you get? He said, I got Home Invest. And at the time, it had been listed for some ridiculous number. I think in the end, like, he got the seller down a little below 250, but he was negotiating on this thing forever because he thought, what's the best name out there for real estate investing? Home Invest. Yeah. And he eventually got it, and he called me, and he's like, we got to do this. Let's jump in. Then I ended up flying down and visiting him in Miami. And we spent a couple weeks together and kind of brainstorming. And then what he did is basically took the brick and mortar business that I was running, working with clients individually. And he said, let's put this online. Let's change the way people are investing in real estate. Let's make this easy for people anywhere in the world to be able to access properties, renovate properties, lease them, and then have liquidity when they want to exit. And so ever since then, we've been building that. And it's been a pretty fun journey. Exciting, very busy, but it's been fun.
It's funny how you mentioned earlier about your one of your first business partners that didn't want to work the, you know, investor hours, I guess, or business person hours. It's funny because people think, you know, you're a business owner, you can do whatever you want, right? And which is true to a point, but if you want to succeed, you're going to be putting in, like you just said, a lot of long hours, a lot of hard hours. And yeah, you have the freedom to go do certain things, but you're kind of always, at least me, you're always working in some capacity, it seems like. And part of it, and I think you're the same, is because you love it. And
yeah,
I don't feel like I work. I'm just doing my business. I'm just doing real estate. I'm not working. Every day is a Saturday for me, which is great. And so that's, anyways, just a side note of listening to your comments about the business partner and now what you're doing and hustling all the time. So
you're so spot on, Todd. Like anyone that's getting into business right now, you've got to figure out what excites you every day.
Yeah,
you've got to figure out how to do that as part of your business. Yes, there's going to be the things that you don't want to do, but you got to figure out how to shift into those things you get excited about, because that's what'll give you the energy to push Saturdays and push Sundays. And yeah, you're totally right. Saturdays and Sundays, my weekends go more like this. Instead of going to the fair or going to the zoo, I'm going to invite a client and his family over so we can have a picnic at my house or a backyard barbecue. And my wife will talk with the other client's wife. My son will play with the other kids. And I enjoy that. Like, I get a really good kick out of that because I'm talking with other people that if they're able to invest in a piece of real estate, they're usually successful people. I'm learning from them. They're learning from me. Like, I enjoy that stuff. So you're exactly right, Todd. You gotta love what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Nate, what, with this Home Invest and maybe some of your other ventures, now you've got, so back up here, you've got Home Invest. You still have, it sounds like Calhoun Ventures, which you do a couple flips here and there. Mm-hmm. What else do you got going on? Anything
that's,
else?
That's my focus. Okay. My focus is Home Invest.
It sounds like plenty. But yeah. okay. So what's your future look like? What are your goal with this company? You know, let's say 5-10 years down the road, what are you going to be?
Yeah. So we want to completely change how people are investing in real estate. We want our solution to be able to be what brings liquidity to the marketplace. And right now we've got a pretty good system, but it always is going to need improvements. Right now, what's happening in the world of investments is that the barrier to enter is getting easier because of crowdfunding and connectivity with people around the world. So we want Home Invest to be at the forefront of that. We want people to be able to invest really, really simple. So 10 years from now, I would love it to be a household name. I'd like people to be able to think safe, positive thoughts when they're investing in Home Invest. And I'd just really like to accomplish that. Well, that's the 10-year outlook.
Is your goal to expand into new markets or continue just to build in the current markets?
Oh, no, we want to expand. We want to work with people just like you, and we want to create something much bigger than someone like myself or maybe you could create on our own. We recognize that by working with the right people in different markets, we can get much more speed on the ground. I know that when I first went to Kansas City, for example, I built this operation from the ground up by myself. It took me a year of heavy lifting, and I don't want to go through that again. Now what I want is I want really, really good people that know what they're doing to bring the right deals forward. And then we provide those to our clients. That's the future of real estate for us.
So your goal is to build a team, basically,
yeah.
And to continue to grow that.
Yep. In every market that makes sense in the country.
Yeah. Okay. What's one thing you would have done differently with your business, whether it's when you started or now, or what's one thing you would have done differently?
Yeah, I would get a mentor from day one. Okay. I'd have a mentor at my side. My mentor now is the client that turned into the CEO of our company that I mentioned. But it, literally, like your day-to-day decisions, you've got to have somebody to call upon. And maybe it's the person you're investing with, maybe it's your realtor, maybe it's one of those. But if you don't have those relationships, then you got to get a mentor that you can confide in. Someone that you can text at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night to say, hey, I got this big thing tomorrow morning. What do you think I should do here? And so I'd say have a mentor. It's the most important thing.
Cool. I think that's great advice. What, give us your favorite business or real estate book.
Yeah. So I'll give you one, but it's not real estate. It's more for the internet and internet traffic. And in this day and age, like you got to have the right traffic online, whether you're renting houses and you need tenants or you're trying to find contractors and you need contractors, it doesn't matter. You need the internet traffic. I would read .com secrets. It's literally spelled DOTCOM, .com secrets, by Russell Brunson. That book, like he's become a master of internet traffic and he really figured it out and he just gives it all away in that book. So I'd read that book.
So Nate, what's your definition of financial freedom?
Financial freedom is basically when you don't depend. Let me phrase it like this. You don't have to go to work every day just to make that paycheck. Instead, you're going to work to do what you enjoy doing. And same thing for your family too. You want to be able to enjoy that, whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it.
That's rentals, by the way. Rentals.
So, Nate, anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap up?
I would say this, time is of the essence. Folks that are listening to this, they may or may not have heard that the real estate market's improving in most sectors of the country. And it's cyclical. Every 7 to 10 years, we typically have a swing in one direction or the other. But we had one of the most historic downswings. Now we're on a really good run up in most markets. But what's still coined with that is low, low interest rates. So just don't pass up the time right now. Like if you're not doing something in real estate, I would jump in before it's a little bit too late. 3 years from now, you might be saying, gosh, I missed that window. Don't do that to yourself. Like time is everything.
You know, I think you're right on. And you mentioned the markets you're investing in. And I think Milwaukee, one of the reasons why is you said they're basically behind. They haven't seen that big run up yet where the Twin Cities, my assumption is you probably are still doing some deals in the Twin Cities, but probably not as many because we have seen a pretty good increase. Where if you can get into market like Milwaukee that you guys are heavily investing in right now, that would be still a great market to get into and to see that increase for the next 3 to 5, maybe even 8 years. Is that right?
Yes, spot on. Like one of the flips we just put on the market in Minneapolis, 1011 Ashland Avenue, that one sold and under contract, but it was really skinny getting into it because the market was just tighter. Now, someone like you who you're on the ground, you're local, you know how to work the off-market deals. Like I would, it's better to invest with you than it is to go out there and try to buy stuff off the open market blindly. You're going to get in insider deals that way.
Yeah.
But timing is 100% everything. I actually just got done reading a study that was produced by a venture capital firm that they basically said, what are the most important factors to a successful business? And they measured timing. They measured having liquidity, meaning cash, investable cash. They also measured like 6 or 7 other components, the team, the CEO, all that kind of stuff. And the number one success factor was timing. And one of the big case studies that they had on it was Airbnb. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Airbnb in the venture capital world was passed on by like every major VC firm. And everyone kept saying, no, that's never going to work. Who else would want to rent out their house? And then 2008 happened and everybody wanted to rent out their house. So Airbnb became this mega success company. And the same thing with Uber was right around the same time frame. They became mega successes regardless of the funding that they had. They didn't have funding at the time. It was market timing is everything.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I actually listened to a podcast with the founder of Airbnb and he talked about that, how everybody just said, no way, I'm not gonna invest with you. Well, Nate, I really appreciate you being on the show and taking time. And if people want to dig in and learn more about your company, and potentially how to invest with you or just connect with you and get to know you more, how do they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love if I knew that they actually came from you too, so I can tell you thank you for that. But so we've set up a domain for anyone that comes in. It's homeinvest.com/pillars. Homeinvest.com/pillars. Great. And on that, they can learn more about us and then they get a little free gift of our checklist of our processes for signing up.
Perfect. Well, Nate, I appreciate your time and have a fantastic rest of the day.
And awesome.
Every day is Saturday, right, Nate?
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Todd. Right, catch up with you soon.
Yeah. Sounds great. Hey, great job to Nate Armstrong. Appreciate Nate being on the show and providing us with lots of valuable insight, some fun stories. So thanks a lot, Nate. Appreciate that. Reach out to Nate. Don't forget to reach out to him. All that will be in the show notes if you missed it. And a couple things I just want to talk about that we learned from this podcast that you can take away. There are lots of stuff, but the three biggest things I took away from this are, one is do your due diligence when you're buying a building or buildings, as Nate did. Make sure that you are looking at everything and thinking about everything. And if you're not the expert in that, if you don't understand how to do it yet, maybe it's your first deal. Nate was pretty green when he did that, when he bought that big deal that he kind of got, basically taken advantage of. you know, hire the right people to do it for you. Get some mentors that can help you along the way, whatever it is that can make sure that you do the proper job. Because as Nate found out the hard way, not everybody's honest in this business. And there's some people that want to take advantage of other people. And whether it's real estate or whether it's really any business, unfortunately, there's some people that just aren't honest and are looking for taking advantage of others. So do your due diligence, trust, but verify. Had Nate, you know, gotten real appraisals, had Nate really looked in and dug into things, he probably wouldn't have done that deal, or maybe would have still done it, but would have gotten a totally different price on the deal. So do your due diligence. That's really important. And I've talked about it before on the show, and I'll talk about it a lot again. So systems and teams, you know, making sure your systems are in place. And Nate's done a fantastic job building systems and making sure his business is running from start to finish really smoothly. I mean, Nate's got an all-encompassing business. It goes from the very start, finding that property and sourcing that deal, to renovating it, to finding an investor to buy that deal. And then after they're done with the renovation and have all that complete, they place tenants in it. Then once it's done with that, their investor, essentially, they give them the key and it's turkey. And then they manage it on the back end for them if that person wants it. And they also then will sell it for them. They'll either sell it in-house or they can sell it retail, whatever that might be. But they'll do it all from start to finish. So he built a system making sure that everything can run smoothly all the way from the start all the way to the end. And so that's really important too in any business here, and building those systems that are going to make it possible for you to step back for a little while and maybe take a vacation, maybe take a couple deep breaths. If you have those systems in place, you're going to allow yourself to build a bigger, better, and more profitable business, and to be able to hire people, because you can't hire people if you don't have systems. They might be building those systems, but it's hard to hire people if everything's kind of just thrown together. The last thing is finding really good people, building really good teams, and Nate's done a great job at finding good people to be a part of his company, to help his company and companies grow. And so he's done a really good job. You know, he took on a new business partner that used to be one of his clients. And he's got lots of employees, teams kind of everywhere. I know he doesn't hire all of his contractors. Some of those are subs. So he's got some great subs. He's got some really good property management, leasing agents, and that kind of stuff. And so he's got his whole team start to finish. And so having good quality people to be a part of your business and to understand, and again, that works back into the systems, but to understand what the whole goal is, what we're doing from start to finish, that's really important. So Nate hit that right on the head, having good teams, having good systems, and of course, doing your due diligence. Those are all really three powerful things that Nate brought to us, lessons you should be able to take away from this podcast. So I appreciate you listening. Go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to. Give us a 5-star rating review. Check out our Facebook page and give some comments, some feedback. If you got questions for us that you want answered on our Hump Day Hustle, do that for us as well. And we'd love to hear from you. So give us a rating review. Like I said, we'd love to hear from you. Hopefully, we keep on bringing you great content. I'm Todd Dexamerin signing off. And make sure every day is a Saturday.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.